Thanks, you guys, for coming and joining us and sticking around and continuing to build community together and learning a little bit more about Spark and where we're at and where we're going. So grateful for all of you to be here. We are going to jump right into Spark's values and mission. So we'll start right away with our mission. We are here to inspire people to live the way of Jesus. We aren't just any organization. We're not the YWCA, although this used to be the YWCA building. We are specifically a church, and we are specifically focused on trying to live and follow Jesus. Not just Jesus' ways only, but also the person of Jesus. That we believe that Jesus is our Messiah, our rabbi. We believe Jesus is God. And we are sitting here with the intention of trying to follow him in our life and trying to figure out ways in which we can more imitate the ways of Christ in this world. Okay? So when we say we're here to inspire people to live the way of Jesus, one of the reasons why we picked this at the very beginning of Spark was because we saw a lot of people that were just sort of going, I'm going to tick this box, and this box says that I am a Christian, but that kind of was it. There was maybe like a moment of conversion or a moment where somebody was sitting there saying, yeah, I think I'd just like to believe these things. And we wanted to make sure that Spark was a place where we actually do the things that Jesus is asking us to do, which is why we are inspiring people to live the way of Jesus. And for those of you who don't know, the early followers of Christianity were called people of the way. And so that's what we're trying to hearken back there to. And then underneath that, you can see we have these five different values. And those five values are lived out in love. They're love, reconciliation, reputation, rescue, and resurrection. And so this last fall, we talked about our vision and our strategy plan for 2023, 24, 25. And we are now a church where Spark is a church where people experience God's love, mature in discipleship, connect in community, do good works so that all may experience a new life in Christ. And we're going to accomplish that vision by developing and supporting competent ministry caretakers. We just had a small group leaders meeting yesterday. We're going to be ensuring sustainable operations with a fiscally generous and fiscally conservative philosophy. And we create environments and experiences through which our vision is realized. So if you guys didn't get a chance to listen to that in the fall, you can go back and hear all of that kind of conversation and how it goes forward. But essentially, if anybody asks you, what is Spark about? We would love you to say, we're there to inspire people to follow the way of Jesus. And we are trying to live out God's love, to experience God's love ourselves, and to share that love with everyone we meet. We want to be a place where the reputation of God in our community is held up and is high in high regard as a result of the ways in which we teach and we speak about Jesus and the ways in which we live out these values in our life. We want to be a place where reconciliation happens, whether it's reconciliation us to Christ and Christ back again, or within our communities and families, or multi-faith reconciliation or racial justice reconciliation. We want to be a place where rescue happens, having ourselves been rescued from sin and death. We want to be a place where that rescue then is extended to everyone we meet. And so we try to do things that bring about rescue in the world. And then ultimately, we are trying to live out the resurrection. We believe that there is new life in Christ. So right now, the Spark board remains at 7 seats. And we have Amy Fritz, Christine Oktar, Darren Liu, Kwame Eason, Pamela Simpson, Stacey Arevalo for continued service on the board. And a warm welcome to Patty Schmidt, which we're really excited about. And a continued thank you to Sarah Grace, who just had to leave for all of her many years of service. And if you, woohoo, yay, Sarah Grace. Really, Sarah Grace and Jason, founders at Spark, and helped make it all go from the very beginning. And if you have questions about Spark's board, you can talk to any one of us or any staff member. We are also continuing to have a very robust teaching team with myself, Kevin, Tom, Omer, Mark, and Marcus, and they all rotate in teaching rotation, and we continue to do that. Spark does have like sort of central leadership in terms of if you are looking for a pastor during the week that is available and has been paid to be available all the time, I'm your girl, okay? So you can continue to grab us, a hold of us. And then if you have any questions about past teachings or anything that we've done at Spark, that's all available online thanks to Kevin and his ability to continue to curate those podcasts and teachings. And I can't tell you after now 11 and a half years together how many times I still go back to the archive and go, I know we talked about this somewhere. I need to remember what we said, how we said it. And obviously, even as we teach, we don't expect you all to do like 101, 201, 301. 3014 here at Spark, like that all of a sudden you're here in this year and we're never ever going to talk about a gospel again or Genesis. We'll constantly be learning and relearning together what it is to follow Jesus and how to understand this beautiful ancient text. Ways in which we try to experience God's love here at Spark are through our prayer room, through practicing the presence of God, through continuing to invest in sacraments like baptism or communion, to continue to have experiences like the prayer path, the labyrinth that's here, night of worship, teaching, choir, Advent, our prayer team, welcome team, all of those ways where we try to have a tangible experience of God's love and God's presence in our community. We are continuing to try to focus on maturing in our discipleship of Jesus. In fact, after our Romans series, we're going to start a new series called Who Do You Say That I Am? And it's focused very specifically on who the gospel writers are saying Jesus is. And we're going to just look and focus, who do they think Jesus is? How does that work in their economy? And it's really with the focus of continuing to figure out, how do we follow Jesus 2,000 years later? And even our Bible study that we do on Monday nights, or whether you're in a small group or a rescue-focused group, all of those are ways in which we're continuing to try to mature as disciples in Christ. When we're meeting now on Monday nights, going through the Gospel of Matthew together, that's what we're starting on right now, it's with the hope that after we've been continuing to experience God's love this year, practicing God's presence in our life, that we're now going, okay, how do I really do this Jesus thing today in the world? When we mature in discipleship, we are also focused on study, on understanding a variety of different ways to think and to learn about God. I was just with senior pastors or key leader, like female leaders in the Bay Area for churches the last couple days this week. And I was amazed at how many of them are experiencing challenges within hierarchical leadership structures. And they're in these positions, which are wonderful and amazing, but they're kind of like, oh, I'm having trouble with, you know, my board, or too many people in the congregation are looking only to me for the answer, et cetera. And I was thinking, I'm so lucky. You all are amazing. And when we are maturing in discipleship, it's really so that we remember we're all here together, myself included. I'm learning from the teachers that come. I learned from Kevin this afternoon. I learned from Omer and Tom and Marcus and anybody else who's coming. I learned from you all when we're in Bible study together. You're all teaching. All of us are learning constantly how to be better disciples of Jesus. I'm learning from Pastor Mark as he teaches the kids, or just in our interactions with one another. And what I love about this is that sometimes you can be in communities, not just in churches, where there's such a hierarchy and authority that everybody's looking to one person for all the answers. And you guys don't do that. Good job. You're my favorite. Because you are looking to Jesus for the answers, and we're all here together trying to figure this out. And yes, I have learned how to cook, right? And we've learned how to provide a meal on a Sunday or do some good work with the teaching. But we also recognize that nobody here has a special red phone to Jesus, right? We're all here together seeking to follow Jesus together and learn and love one another. And with that, we want to invite up Kevin. And he's going to give us a little bit of a continued update on part of our discipleship effort with his Via Media.
Okay. Thank you, Grace. A couple years ago, we launched this, let's call it an experiment, an endeavor. Things that had been roiling around in my brain for quite some time that I wanted to try. And so we did. And Spark is an amazing incubator and partner with me and my crazy ideas. So I'm tremendously grateful for this. There have been these two values that I have kind of settled in on throughout like the years that I've been doing all this: curiosity and hope. There's a lot of ways of doing doctrine. There's a lot of ways of being an advocate. There's a lot of ways of, you know, showing up and being an ally and stuff. And throughout everything for me, curiosity and hope seems to be like these two grounding pillars, these two grounding virtues of how to move humanity forward towards better solutions and towards better life. And so these were the values, and I could pontificate a whole bunch on those two particular values. But basically what we did is we launched a website. I recorded some podcasts. I had the incredible privilege of creating some videos with Sammy Glenn. Some of you know Sammy Glenn, who helped to produce a series of videos that are professionally done that take particular ideas, biblical concepts, and put them in a visually appealing format with music and a script. And for example, for those of you who know the rainbow story, talking about the rainbow, but as the rainbow as a weapon that God hung in the sky. The word for hovered over the depths, the spirit in Genesis 1 is like an eagle. And so we found this amazing footage of an eagle quite literally hovering over its young. And so we were able to institute that, put that into some videos. So all those are online. There's two more videos that will hopefully be coming later this year called Naked and Womb. Womb is about the compassion of God. The word for compassion in Hebrew is the word racham, which is the same word for womb. So there's this feminine aspect of God's compassionate character there. And Sammy knew this woman who was pregnant, so we got some amazing professional shots of her before and after with her baby. And so that's tied into the story of the feminine side of the divine. And Naked is about the snake and humanity, because the word for naked and the word for cunning is exactly the same. It comes from different roots, but they're spelled exactly the same and pronounced the same. So anyway, we did some videos. We did a bunch of conversations. Some of the funnest stuff that I've done in my life. I'm so incredibly grateful. I learned a ton and was so grateful to all of them. And many of these, of course, in partnership with Spark, and some of them in partnership with other organizations as well. The question is, what do we do with this now? Well, a lot of changes and a lot of uncertainty and a lot of questions about where do we go from here. Doing all that work, as you can imagine, is a lot of work. And there was kind of some objectives and goals that I'd hoped to have with Via Media, but I was too busy doing other things and still working for Spark and having some questions as to how sustainable is this. And for those of you who are in podcast and YouTube world, you know that there are, I don't know, tens of thousands of people out doing very similar things. And so there's a market and stuff. So there's all these complications. So basically we've decided that all of the media that we have is going to stay publicly available. I have enough income to make sure that the URL, viamedia.center, as well as the website can be sustained. YouTube is free, the podcasts are free, but there's still a little financial maintenance to make that. So everything's going to stay online. We are going to continue to produce, but only produce when it's opportune, meaning when I have time, when an opportunity presents itself, maybe there's a partnership with Spark, or I just happen to have a vacation, I can do some stuff. Again, those two videos are coming. Minimal financial need to maintain. The hope was maybe we could launch this into something that could be really financially viable. That is not turning out to be the case after 2 years. So we have enough financial resources to just sustain it. And then we just have no idea what the future is. So maybe some radical change will happen. Who knows? And that's pretty much it. So if you have any questions about any of that stuff, you can go to viamedia.center and check out all the media. It'll always be there, free and online. And you can sign up for the newsletter. That's will maintain itself. And again, as we produce and as we get more things out there, you will get the information as it comes. We will not be, I don't think we're going to be advertising and pushing through Spark as a principal avenue, because we're just kind of in status quo mode with Via Media. Maybe every now and then, we don't know. But make sure you sign up at the website for that. So if you have any questions, let me know. Okay.
Awesome. Thanks for that update, Kevin. I mean, I just want to express how excited and honored I am to be part of a church that does things like partnering with Via Media, like to ambitiously try to work towards the good of all humanity and curate curiosity and hope and like all the things that we were able to learn through all of those authors who came and the speakers. Like, I've complained / like bragged that it feels like going to graduate school sometimes to be at Spark. And it's sort of like, if you're really listening, you're going to learn a lot here. So I really appreciate all the work that goes into that. So Sparkers this past year also connected in community in a number of ways, big and small. Ooh, back. Yes. So we, in the fall, had our first church-wide spiritual retreat in many years, and 92 of us gathered at a beautiful Costa Noa resort. It was really nice. We connected and heard from our brilliant guest speaker, the author and storyteller Mark Iaconelli. We had parties, we hosted fundraisers, baked, planted a community garden, right, and played with many Legos. Right. There are currently over 18 active groups here at Spark. They gather to study the Bible, play games, eat, share stories, and journey through the good and bad times together. So if you haven't checked out a community group yet, we do encourage you to do so and get to know some other Sparkers at a deeper level. Sparkers also work together for the purpose of doing good works and spreading gospel justice. Right? Pastor Mark and Stacy Revelo, they continue the tradition of monthly silent protests for racial justice. Tony served underprivileged communities every Sunday morning with coffee cart service through Project We Hope at City Team. And with City Team, Sparkers also contributed to a clothing drive. Rescue funds also went to distributions for partner nonprofits such as the Equal Justice Initiative, Hope Horizon East Palo Alto, the Parents Circle, and World Vision. And there's lots more information about all those organizations that we've distributed funds to on Spark's website. For climate justice, Hannah Lee and our rescue committee partnered with Etsaim for Actera's Electric Vehicle Expo. Also for climate justice, 1.5% of all of our online giving automatically goes directly to the Stripe Climate Fund. And Stripe is our payment processor for online giving. And so those funds support emerging technologies in the carbon removal space. Thanks to a suggestion from Jen Ibbotson-Brown, we are also recycling better with Ridwell to reduce landfill waste. And if you're curious about more things you can do, there's a creation care committee that just met today and has thinking of all of these great new ideas to further bring climate justice to the front and center. They do need help, yes. So climate care, very important. Patty Smith, Annie Behrens, and others helped us continue supporting refugees and asylum-seeking families in the Bay Area. Raul brought us a fundraiser for Tiara to help scholars in India, and Patty led care kits for LGBTQ youth space in Santa Clara County. Our partnership with PATH specifically also deepened thanks to our volunteer lead, Amy Fritz. And we served previously unhoused neighbors in San Jose with a back-to-school supplies drive for the Evans Lane Tiny Home community with families with children, a Thanksgiving dinner, and a holiday gift of cozy blankets for elderly residents of PATH's new Villas on 4th Street site in downtown San Jose. In case you didn't know, 10% of Spark's giving income goes into our rescue fund automatically every year. So last year, we distributed over $68,000 in our focus areas of gospel justice, particularly for poverty alleviation and refugee welcome efforts. However, I also wanted to highlight that over 60% of rescue funds do not get distributed to nonprofit partners for further distribution, but instead help Sparkers and Sparker families through mutual aid assistance. So you might not know it, but someone sitting next to you right now could be in need of emergency assistance for things like rent to avoid eviction or medical bills for a sudden emergency. So your giving to Spark helps support our neighbors out there, but also here in this building too. So thank you so much for your generosity with that. Mm-hmm. 2023 was also a year of deliberate fundraising for Spark to cover operational expenses now and in the future. We banded together for a 12-month sustainability campaign and ended up raising over $357,000 in additional giving above and beyond your typical offerings. So thank you so much for that. It was huge. Over 47 Sparker households gave directly to the Sustainability Fund, and that allows us to run our ministries, pay our rent in this beautiful meeting space, right, and plan for a growth season. So the encouragement and commitment that we saw through Sparkers giving to this campaign allowed us to go ahead and sign a direct lease with Congregation Etzhaim, extending our experiment of renting a whole Spark wing of this building through the summer of 2025. So thank you so much for that. And then Ellen Bob, who's the executive director at Etsaim, came over with a lovely cheese plate. And that was just a lovely signing ceremony. So we're so happy to be here and to call Etsnix our neighbors. So on financial assets, wanted to give you a financial update as well. Overall, Spark is in a promising financial position. So we're still holding on to $1.064 million in assets. That's primarily in a responsibly managed investment portfolio that's guided by our Spark Finance Committee. And it's also in some cash savings as well. Though we do have over $1 million in assets, that asset buffer, I do want to be transparent with you all that the approved budget for this year runs a forecasted deficit. So if giving does not increase above historical averages, we are projected to spend $160,000 more than we will make in 2024. If you project that out and think of how much we have saved, we will run out of savings at that level within 5 years if giving does not increase, right? So we know we're running deficit now, and our hopes are for growth to cover it. In order to balance that annual budget, we still need an increase of 25% in giving, either from 25 new giving households giving about the average, or a 25% increase in giving from existing households, or some combination of the two. So 25 may seem like a lot, but this is a lot better than the last time I reported out these numbers to you. When we talked about our financial health in November of 2022, before the beginning of the sustainability campaign, we said that we needed a 66% increase in giving. So with the sustainability campaign, with the step up, with the new households that have come, it's not 66, it's 25. 25 is very doable, right? We need to stick together, invite our friends and family, you know, and generally support the growth of Spark. And we can definitely get there, hopefully sooner rather than later, right? So right now, Pastor Danielle is going to come back up and run through some of the things we have planned upcoming at Spark for this growth season.
Thank you, Debbie, for being awesome and amazing. Woohoo! Also, if you have any questions about any of the things that she said, Debbie will sit down, make an appointment with her. She'll sit down, run you through. Like, everything's transparent, open. We're vulnerable at Spark. We show you all the things. And Debbie is happy to sit down and show you how it all works. And you can continue to do that. All right, so going forward, here's what we're looking at. We are continuing to recruit for our pastor of intergenerational ministry. This is basically a youth pastor who, with respect on the name, this is the way I like to talk about it. But basically, we would say that in a lot of other churches or communities, because I'm a children's pastor and a youth pastor at heart, I remember being sat at the kids' table and being budgeted for like used crayons and like all those other things. And what I want everybody to know is that we think the kids' table is the table. And we would like all of us to recognize how deeply important and valuable the next generation is to come up. Is right now and in the future. And one of the things that we've noticed in the Northern American church at large is a lot of times kids that are saved to youth ministry then stop coming to church when they have to come to the grown-up space because there's no air hockey here or whatever else, right? Those of us who are in youth ministry growing up, we want our kids to know this is your church. You're in charge here too. You can contribute here too. And all of the people in this room are people that care about you and are invested in you and in your future. So that's what the intergenerational pastors we're looking for. We have not yet found the candidate, but I am hopeful and excited. And part of my time with pastors this week was to try to network and see what candidates might be out there. I don't know if you're aware of this. Spark is a little bit unique in a variety of ways. And so your standard candidate, you know, may not be the right fit. So it might take a little while, but it's okay. We're happy to wait for the right fit to come along. But please do share with friends, family, people who are considering, who are qualified. You know, we are looking for somebody who's educated in the process. Yes. It's a full-time position, and we are hoping for somebody who has a Master's of Divinity or at least a robust biblical education. And can effectively teach our kids and be part of this holistic community here and to invest in relationships specifically for our kids, but relationships with everybody here in the room. Yeah, and we're continuing that together. We are continuing to try to build more community groups. And if you have a heart for a particular group that's not yet here at Spark, we'd love to have you come and talk with us about it, and we'll see what we can dream up together of what we might create in order to build more community and belonging. We are really robust for a church our size. So many of us are in small groups, connected, and the number of small groups that we have, I'm just amazed by. And our goal this year was to launch 5 new groups, and we've already got 3. So we're getting really close, and that was just a few months ago. So we're very excited about that. We have our gospel Bible study, as mentioned. We have Earth Day and Creation Care coming up. So Spark has a reputation of caring about the climate and caring about people and understanding the intersection between climate justice and racial justice and all of that. So the organizers of the Earth Day Festival at Holbrook Palmer Park in Atherton said to us, would you like a table at our Earth Day Festival? And I was like, what would he be even? Yes, sure. So we're having some volunteers. Hannah and Jen and I met earlier today. We're going to have our own table, our own booth at the Earth Day Festival. I'm like, well, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about how churches and faith communities can care about climate justice. Yeah? And we're going to invite our neighbors here at AIDS to share the table with us because they've greened their building. And so if you're interested in that, we need help. We had some great ideas today, and Hannah's been working. Maybe we're going to work on another EV fair and all these other fun things. But please dream with us about what we might do to care for our community garden and to really continue to advocate for a love and care for the climate, for our earth, and for one another in this world. And I kind of think, what better place to put out a table for our church than an Earth Day Festival? I think the people who are there are going to be looking for a church like us. We are continuing our multi-faith efforts, both with our Muslim neighbors, with our Jewish neighbors, with anybody else interested. When we do multi-faith voices for peace and justice, there are Sikh and Hindi and Buddhists and everybody represented at that table, which is beautiful and very exciting. And I'm going to just jump to the last one at the end. April 16th, which is a Tuesday evening, the week before Passover officially begins, that evening, Eitz Chaim, our synagogue here, has invited Sparkers to do a Seder together, a Passover meal together. And it's just closed to Sparkers and Etznics because the aim is to build relationship with one another, to sit around the table together, to share our stories about spiritual displacement, homelessness, physical displacement, homelessness, and also to highlight the stories of refugees and asylum seekers and justice needed in this community today, all with our Exodus story. The theme of the night is going to be making hope in a strange land. And I'm really deeply encouraged. I don't know if you guys can appreciate the fact that Christians have a history, not always a great one, with our Jewish neighbors. And to be invited into the space, not just to share space and have, you can rent the room, but to be invited into community is an incredibly beautiful gift, an honor, and it is something that you've been entrusted with because you deserve that trust. You've earned it for the last 11 and a half years we've been here. And I'm deeply grateful for your partnership in that. And I'm grateful that we'll be also with our wonderful friend Samina Sundas and Muslim Voices for Peace and Justice with the Palo Alto Iftar, Break the Fast Dinner. And so please come and continue to build relationships with our Muslim neighbors as well in this community. This is what we want to do here at Spark. To that end, if anybody would like to be the co-chair of that Passover Seder, this one is something we're not just attending, but we're helping to contribute and organize. And we're going to even be trying to do some of our Creation Care effort in concert with this and have our young people plant parsley. I'm looking at Ann and Nancy. We need parsley in our community garden for the Passover Seder. And wouldn't it be wonderful? It's going to be a potluck Seder, by the way. It's going to be so cool. We're going to bring our own food that tells the stories of our own families of origin. So there'll be more information to come, but I need a leader. So if anybody's interested in partnering with your counterpart at Eitz Chaim to make sure that this Passover refugee Seder with Eitz, you don't have to know Hebrew. You don't have to know anything really about the Seder. You just have to help us get it off the ground. So all of that is exciting. And then our racial justice work continues with our wonderful racial justice team, which is also a co-effort with Eitz Chaim. And Kwame and Pamela and others are leaders of that effort, along with Rabbi Amy and and Jana. That's right. So wonderful continued effort. If you're interested in any of these works, we need all of the people to come and help and bring all of God's good ideas that are in your heart and in your brain and come and partner with the racial justice community, with the Creation Care efforts, with our multi-faith efforts. And for those of us who've been part of this work, it's just so wonderful when we get to see everybody come together. One of our hopes for the Passover Refugee Seder with Eitz Chaim is that we'll be able to extend a warm invitation and welcome to the families that both Eitz and Spark have helped to find homes here in the Bay Area, and to come and be our guests at that meal, and we can continue to listen to one another's stories. So I am so excited about all of these incredible, hopeful opportunities coming forward. And the theme for the Seder, Making Hope in a Strange Land, comes from my friend Maoz Inon, whose parents were killed the morning of October 7th by Hamas. And he's a good friend of mine. He's been doing peace entrepreneurship and work in Nazareth and also with Abraham Travel throughout the region for a long time. He's an Israeli Jew, and he partners with Palestinian Christians and Palestinian Muslims and Israelis, all of the things, to try to find. He started the Jesus Trail. It's all a wonderful story. He and I were FaceTiming last Sunday, and he said that his brother was asked by Christiane Amanpour. He's been on CNN and ABC and all the things since these events, do you see any hope? And his brother said, no, I don't see hope. I make it. And this is what Maoz is now trying to do all the time. And when he and I chatted last Sunday, he told me, Danielle, you and I are not the only people standing on this mountain. There are other people here with us. And I cannot live in the past. It is too painful. And I cannot live in the present. It is too painful. I will only live in the future. And in the future, there is a peace and a sustained and just peace for all people. And so we are hopeful, and we are going to make hope together. And prayerfully, Maoz has just been selected to be the TED Talk speaker up in Vancouver in April. And we're hoping he's going to come down and visit here with you all not long after that. So between that and the Standing Together group, and please just listen to Brené Brown's most recent podcast. There's three of them, and they're amazing. All of that work. I just hope you really are impressed with yourselves and the way in which Jesus is at work here in this community. I am so deeply grateful for each one of you, for being able to hold space and nuance and patience and love and care. It is hard work, and you guys do it beautifully, and I'm very, very grateful. So thank you for all of that. Is that it? Yeah, joy boxes. Continue to invest, invite all your friends, and now we'll take any questions that you guys might have. For me or Debbie. It's Tuesday, April 16 at 6 p.m., try to put a little early for the families. And all of the details are still rolling out. Right now we have a save the date. Yeah, save the date and a theme. And I have a lot of ideas that I really want help with. Yeah, so it's going to be so amazing and fun. Yeah. Yes. It's going to be a shortened time commitment because it's just through April 16. And primarily what we need is somebody who's going to be willing to come to a few meetings to work with the Eitz Chaim counterpart. Her name is Dana, and she's been part of our refugee resettlement efforts that we've worked with for many years. And she's fantastic. And it's just to kind of go, how the table is going to be laid out, what's the communication, how does it work? But it's with a committee and with rabbi support staff and pastoral support staff. But we just need people to kind of think it through. Like one of my hopes, do you guys know in the Exodus story, when the women are leaving Egypt, they bring with them tambourines, which sounds crazy because, you know, they're fleeing a massive oppressor. And they have the wherewithal, Miriam and the other women have the wherewithal to bring tambourines because they will make hope. And I would love to get a tambourine for every household that we could have. Where do I find, you know, climate friendly, cost realistic, like cost? And then can I hand paint them all, make it up? Say, I need somebody to talk me down off that ledge and then help, you know, make it happen. Yeah. And then to plant the parsley this week, because I would really love it. It was just like those kinds of things. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, Ivan.
Ha ha ha.
Yeah. Monica, now one of our Sparkers, is the front office administration staff, office administrator for Eitz Chaim. So every time we have a Sparker now on staff at Eitz. It's amazing. And Rabbi Chaim emailed me this week and said there's a member of the Eitz board, and their job is to think through Eitz's own strategic plan over the next 5 to 10 years. And as they consider that, they wanted to come and talk to us about any ideas we might have because they see us as a valued and long-term partner, which is such a gift. Yeah. So we just have good friends, very, very good friends that we just love and we respect. We all respect one another so much. And I'm deeply grateful for the ways in which we're all bringing a little bit of light and love in the world. Any other questions?
So I'm told constantly by the board I don't celebrate enough all the wonderful things that are happening at Sparks. So I just wanted to let you know that the refugee and asylum seeker bedding drive with the International Rescue Committee, thank you so much for partnering with so many different faith communities on that. Together, we have enough bedding for like 135 individuals, including families and children and individuals coming to the Bay Area this year. So all of that bedding came from us and from Congregation Etz Chaim and Grace South Bay and the river. There was just like, you should have seen my garage. It was amazing. It was so fun. Yeah, I took some photos and I helped get it all into their storage and we had some lovely chats with them. They're just a great team. We're so proud to be partners with them. And thank you for that, 130 bedding sets. Wow. So great.
And for those of you who don't know, IRC Tambourine. She's making hope. IRC is one of the most robust refugee aid and resettlement organizations in the entire world. They were founded after World War II by the request of Albert Einstein, and they've been working ever since. And as we might say, well, but I just bought bedding for a family that's arriving in the Bay Area, that is alleviating a budgetary need that allows IRC as the larger organization to continue to show up in the Congo, in Eritrea, in Ethiopia, in Gaza, in Ukraine, and continue to be there for people, not just who are arriving here, but they have refugee aid services everywhere. And so when you see even the horrific, no words to describe situations that are happening in Gaza, in Ukraine, in Congo, etc., IRC is there. And they are providing food and shelter and bedding and assistance. So they will continue to be our ongoing partner, not just locally, but globally. And if you're trying to figure out, I want to do something and I want to give more, I just can't more highly recommend IRC as the place where you can give. That and Chef Andres, World Kitchen, World Central Kitchen. I mean, they're the ones doing such incredible work, yeah. More questions? Isn't it exciting? I mean, who knows what else is going to happen this year? This is so great. I'm so thrilled and excited. All right, well, eat more pizza, have cake, celebrate, and before you go, let's just thank God, yeah? Can we just pray together and thank God? Jesus, we bless you for the work in which you are doing in us, through us, and among us. We are humbled, deeply humbled, that you continue to choose each one of us to build just a little bit of your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. We are blessed to be sparks of light and of love and of hope, Jesus, in this world and in our neighborhood and in this building. And we are deeply grateful that people know we are your disciples by our love. And I am just amazed at each person that comes here and puts their hands and their efforts and their talents and their gifts and their wisdom and their joy and their love into this community, that it might do this beautiful good in this world. And we do it, Jesus, not because we seek praise or honor. We do it because we want to glorify you. And we love you, Jesus, and we want the world to know how deeply it is loved by you. Empower us through your Holy Spirit to continue to proclaim love and hope in this world through you, Jesus. We give you all this glory. Amen. Thank you all. for being Spark.